as I thought about this message that should stop us dead in our tracks. They should literally take our breath away and then shake us to a greater action than they ever have. These passages, as I was thinking about them, are literal wake-up calls to every believer in Jesus Christ from Moravia, Iowa, all the way across this world. These passages, what I see, send a resounding message to, again, wake up, stand up, and get going, because time is of the essence. But way too often, these wake-up call passages, they just kind of get read over, and they're not really looked at in detail and depth. So they just kind of get shrugged off. You know what I mean? I'll kind of get to that later. In fact, my life is so busy, I don't even have time to see the passages. I was grabbed about 3 weeks ago by one of these pesky passages. I had come in the house and I had sat down. It was just before 6 o'clock, and I was going to watch an hour news broadcast because I like to keep up with what's going on. So I sat down and started watching this broadcast, and as I sat there in my, what Chuck calls, fat boy chair, taking in this news broadcast, I was slapped once again in the face by all the division that we see in our nation and across this world. I was kicked literally in the guts at all the lies and the deception and the hatred and the bitterness and the rage. Now, I was sitting there, this was before the senator was shot on a baseball field and all the other atrocities that are going on in the world since that very day. And my soul was literally aching over the battles that we are facing day in and day out. It was then, just out of nowhere, and I mean literally out of nowhere, these five pesky but very powerful words all of a sudden grabbed me, and it really shook me and woke me up. You know what those five words are? Only a few find it. Only a few find it. Those five words is exactly what spawned this message for today. These five words come near the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, literally in chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. In fact, as you look down below that, there's some more pesky passages that are true wake-up calls to every single believer. And this is what these words convey. And I feel so struck by them. Chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, and this is what Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life." And there's those pesky words, "Only a few find it." Let me tell you, this is a wake-up call passage. That news program and all the things we see shaking the foundations of our work, our world, our nation, is revealing day in and day out. And I hope that you're seeing it broadcast just like I am. The gate has swung wide open. And the road is being marched upon by way too many people that leads to destruction. So the question I started asking myself, why did the Holy Spirit remind me just suddenly of these words? What was the Spirit of God charging me with personally? And what did he want me to see? And more importantly, what does he want me to do? I sat there and it all of a sudden became so simple to me. Wake up. Stand up. You see, Mark, I need you. And then get going, because there is a lot of work that needs to be done, and you can't sleep anymore behind the wheel. Now, again, this is a message to me. I can't sleep any longer behind the wheel. I wish we had all the time in the world. I really wish we had all the time in the world to just lope along the trail with no sense of urgency, just taking in the sights and enjoying ourselves. But as you look at the world today, we don't. In fact, we are living in a time that requires a gallop. It's time to let out the reins and do everything we can with the help of God, through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, through the church, to get ourselves and to get others across the finish line. You see, there's urgency in those words. Only a few are going to find it. When you look at these two verses, you see Jesus painting a very understandable picture, a vivid metaphor of two gates and two roads. You know what those gates represent? To all of you young people, I want you to look at those gates. You know what they represent? They represent choices. Choices we personally make and open. And the two roads represent the direction in which those choices will take us. Simple. There's two roads. We choose them, and then those roads take us someplace. This is an inevitable fact. Every day that we live, we are confronted by many, many choices. All of you young people, and of course all of us as adults, already know. We come up against so many different crossroads that force us to make a decision. Which way are we going to go? What are we going to do? What are we going to ascribe our life to? And Jesus Christ is asking each one of us today, right this very minute, right in this very sanctuary, where are your choices leading you right now? Where are your choices leading you right now? And how are your choices shaping your life and future? And are your choices helping you or hurting you? And finally, where will your choices see you wind up? Now, for this next few minutes, I'd really like us to be honest with ourselves. And of course, I would ask that we'd all be honest with God, because you see, He already knows everything about us. And I want you to determine in your own mind, what gate have you opened? And what road are you currently trotting along? I hope up there on the overhead, we've got two gates. We got two gates and we got two roads. Now, the first gate is wide and the road is broad and many enter in it. Think about it. It's a wide gate, it's a broad road, and many enter in it. Now, although Jesus first lays out His personal desire and, of course, His preference for each and every one of us as human beings by saying this, enter through the narrow gate, let me tell you something. Jesus is not naive or blindsided by the fact that many are going to reject Him, that many are going to ridicule Him, Many are going to mock him and persecute him and deny him. And yes, they're going to reject him as a gate and a road to follow. That's why in chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, he tells his disciples, he tells the listeners on the mountainside that day, and he's actually telling each and every one of us, he said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Then he goes on to say, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets that were before you. It's part of the deal. Again, Jesus knows not everybody is going to come to faith. He realizes that many are going to just reject him. So he goes on to describe what I call the first gate and the first road. And this is what he says. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. You see that word many? That is a wake-up call word. I'd like you to first note, the first gate, it's wide. It is so wide there is absolutely no problem getting through this gate. It takes no work, it takes no effort to push this gate open. You see, there's no resistance, and there's no secret code to push, and there certainly is no passage to memorize. All you have to do is just slightly nudge it, and the door swings wide open and just begs you to come on in. The second thing to notice, this easy gate entrance leads you down a road. It leads you down a road that looks so glamorous. It looks so beautiful. It looks so tempting and alluring. This road just seems to be a breeze to walk upon. In fact, guys, it's Fun City 24/7. This road is absolutely full of excitement. You make the decisions. You're committed to no one or nothing. You can do whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want. You can drink what you want. You can smoke what you want. You can watch what you want. You can tantalize yourself on the internet all you want. You can run with whoever you want to run with. You can believe whatever you want or disbelieve whatever you want. After all, you're the king of this mountain. And you're the designer of your own destiny. And if someone tries suggesting to you that this road is all wrong, you could get shouted down by them saying, "This is my road. This is my way to Easy Street, and I won't be denied my choices. In fact, just get off my back." Oh, I've been on that road. I can remember telling people, "Don't tell me what to do." And don't tell me what to believe. Because you see, I'm the king of my mountain. You know, the problem, however, with this seemingly glamorous and beautiful road is it leads to a weakened, undisciplined, broken, battered, immoral, and miserable life. A life that pushes you right over the edge into the abyss of destruction. If, let me say it again, if the GPS, God's positioning system, isn't turned on immediately and you change your course of action. This is a beautiful road that takes you right straight to the pit of hell. And the key thing, what Jesus says here, is that many are going to walk this road. The third thing that I'd like you to take note of, the unfortunate fact that every believer sitting in this sanctuary today, every single one of us have witnessed this road and this gate being opened and have seen with our very own eyes many lives littered along this road. And to this very day, 6/25/2017, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know, yes, we know, friends and family members and neighbors, etc., 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 that have opened this gate and are currently walking on this destructive road. And they're heading to a bitter end. That's why I'm convinced the Spirit of God was telling me, wake up, Mark. Stand up, Mark. And get your feet rolling. Because I have things that I want you to do. Again, this message is just for me. I know all of you are perfect. Jesus then goes on to describe the next gate and road this way. He says, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Those were the words that gripped me. Those were the words that the Spirit reminded me of. Only a few are going to find it. The first observation is this is a small gate. This is a narrow road. And again, only a few are going to find it. Now to me, those are wake-up call words. You know, observing this small gate, understand, it's not an easy gate to enter or push your way through willy-nilly, because you see, there is a code of entrance. You see, there is a password. And that password and that code is J. E-S-U-S-C-O-M-E-F-O-L-L-O-W-M-E. You see, Jesus is that gate. And He's beckoning every single one of us in this sanctuary not to just come to church, but to come follow Me. It takes great thought and a whole lot of consideration to press that code and open this gate, because you see, this gate and this road are very demanding. It's just like that song. It demands that we sacrifice our life for Him. You know, I've never been a mountain man. The beard only fools you. I've always been a flatlander. But Chuck Riggenbaugh and his two boys took me on a little mountain excursion into Colorado, and I'd never been in the mountains. And I preface this whole story by telling you that I am not a high wire act. Again, I'm a flatlander. I get 15 or 16 feet up in my tree stand, and that's all I want. So all of a sudden, he's taking me into these high mountain passes and stuff in Colorado. And let me tell you what, my knees were knocking, and I was looking over the edge of some of these things, and I'm going, God, what am I doing here? And it was a great experience, but there was a lot of times when I'm sitting there just clutching that seat and having to close my eyes, and Chuck and his boys were laughing at me. That's okay. I'll take it. I'll take it. But like driving on the most treacherous mountain roads. You need your hands on the wheel. And that's what I kept telling Chuck. Put both hands on the wheel. And by the way, you need your eyes focused. Chuck, don't look at the beauty over the banks. Please look at the road. Keep your eyes on the road. I mean, you got a precious passenger here in your car. And you need a heart that is ready at those heart-stopping moments. And trust me when I tell you, when we went over the Monarch Pass and we were looking down 11,000 feet and we're on the outside of the road, I had some heart-stopping moments. This narrow road that Jesus paints this beautiful picture of is even more demanding than Monarch Pass. It demands our total trust. It demands believing in all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is confessing Jesus as Lord every single day and realizing that His Lordship is critical to your life. It is consistency of your faith walk. Walking with Him every single day in consistency. It is disciplining yourself onto godliness. It is denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Him. It is forgiving one another, just like Christ forgave each one of us. And these very verses bear this out. Think about trust. When Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You see, giving yourself up. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. And then Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And then Galatians 6, 9, and 10 talks about consistency when it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And then talk about discipline. Proverbs 10, 17 says, he who leads a disciplined life shows the way to life. But whoever ignores correction leads others astray. But this one here is the one that really grabs me. Proverbs 15:32. He who ignores discipline despises himself. You see, this narrow road leads us in so many ways that we refuse to accept. Every one of these verses and thousands, thousands more reveal and absolutely map out this narrow road that Jesus is telling us all about. But take heart and realize that each one of these verses tells us and shows us in great, great detail that this narrow road that Jesus talks about, where is it leading us? This narrow road is leading us on an incredible journey. A journey like I never believed I would be on personally. It's leading us on a journey of life. True life. A purposeful life. An abundant life. A prosperous life. A full life. A rich life. I could come up with all kinds of adjectives. And then, of course, eternal life. There is no doubt, there is no doubt as I stand here today that this road is very demanding. And the scripture absolutely makes no bones about it whatsoever. In fact, I think it tells us to hang on. But isn't it true that great achievements and great successes like walking into the eternal city, there is no shortcuts. There are no easy ways out. In fact, it takes effort. Not that we're working our way to heaven. That's already been bought and paid for by Jesus. But it takes effort to walk this walk. It takes our will to succeed. It takes believing in the goal that Jesus has set before us. It takes the discipline to carry on every single day. And our ability as believers in Jesus Christ to fight what? The world, the flesh, and the devil himself, who continues to beckon us towards the wide gate and the broad road. To me, when I sat there in that chair that day watching that news broadcast, it is startling. It is startling to realize that although the small gate and the narrow road is leading people to life and giving life, only a few find it. Millions upon millions are being swept out to sea by the waves of temptation of every single kind we can imagine. They are being intoxicated with pleasure after pleasure after pleasure. And they're listening to worldly noise and advice that is taking them the wrong way. Right before our eyes, they are drowning. And Jesus, the very Son of God, the Savior of the earth, has called all of us to the rescue ships. But the question is, are we on board? Are we really on board? My wife blessed me with a birthday gift and a Father's Day gift at the same time, and she bought me tickets to the U.S. Open golf tournament up in Wisconsin. So last weekend, that's where we were at. She bought me tickets for the final rounds Saturday and Sunday. Oh man, I had a blast. I love to play golf. I love the outdoors. I'm enamored by golf course design, among many other things. But I love playing golf. I like watching it. I know my brother tells me it's like watching paint dry, but that's okay. But as I sat there in a number of bleachers and I watched this mob of people, I had already started writing this message and I finished it when I got back. I looked at this sea of people. There must have been close to 100,000 there the last 2 days, marching up and down this golf course, up and down the hills, sloshing beer, drinking, cussing, carrying on. Now, not everybody, but there was plenty. And I sat there and I thought to myself, how many of these people know Jesus? How many of these people that I'm watching in this mass get together, how many of them know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? How many have entered that small gate and are walking this narrow road? When I got back, I sat down, and this list could have been a lot longer. But I put together my personal rescue plan, and I'm only going to share 5 thoughts with you. Because I believe Jesus that day gave me those words because he wants me to do something. So my first rescue point is this: rework my prayer list and prayer time. No excuses. No excuses. You see, too many things get in your way, Mark. And then you say you're going to get back to it and you don't get back to it. No excuses. This is way too important. And there are people that are dying. So you know what we're going to do? We have a list for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we've been fairly religious about following it, but it's got to change. One of those days has got to have a list of everybody I personally know. Maybe some of them will be your kids, family members, names that will come to us. But we have got to put a list together of people who are lost on the sea. And I have got to start praying for them in earnest. Only a few find it. So that list has got to have people on it that you know are perishing. This is my list. This is my rescue plan. No excuses. Do more of this. I need to find opportunities to share the gospel. It doesn't necessarily have to be behind a podium. It'd be nice if it could be. But do more of this. Why not take on Paul's words? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to anyone who believes. Do we have a powerful message? Then quit being afraid to share it, Mark. Do more of this. Find opportunities to share the gospel. I was blessed this year to share at Vacation Bible School. I was petrified. I was more afraid of getting up there than I've ever been afraid of getting up here. There was kids. Are they going to listen to you? Well, all I could do was do my best. That's what I told myself. But at least I did it. The third thing is this: dive deeper into God's word so you can fulfill Peter's words in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have." Can you, Mark, really articulate the reason that you have hope in Jesus Christ? Peter says, always be ready, always be prepared to be able to do this. People are going to watch you. People are going to see you. They might even be inquisitive about what gives you this hope in Jesus. I want to be able to tell them why. I want to be able to show them why. And then number four is honestly, often. Honestly, often examine my personal walk with Jesus. Is there things that need to be repaired? Is there some bump and paint that needs to happen? I think we need to examine ourselves more often. I know I do. And then my final point is this: wake up, Mark. Stand up and get going. Because the Spirit brought these words to you. Again, this is my message. And I am struck by the fact that many are walking a destructive road, and only a few are going to find the road that we're on. I've got something to do. And it starts with my prayer life and devotion life and goes on from there. And wherever the Lord leads me, that's where I've got to go. Let's stand together today. You're going to get out so early today, you're going to have quite a story to tell Pastor Terry. Tell him to only use 4 points and knock from 10 down to 4, you know. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what rocks your world. I don't know what you see going on around you and what you're even doing about it. But I believe, really, the church has got some work to do. All of us in our families. As you sit there and you think even about your kids and your grandkids and their friends and family members, there's a lot of people that don't know Him. They refuse to know Him. They need to be on our list. If you've got something you'd like to pray about today, I'm just going to ask you to come. We're not going to play any music. And if you don't, you can just quietly cut loose and enjoy your day. But if there's something you need to get right with God today, I'll be happy to come down and pray with you. Maybe some of the other pastors would be willing to do the same. So let's pray. And then I just pray that you'll have a great day. Father, I'm so thankful for these wake-up call passages that really call us to open up our eyes and to see what's going on around us and to be maybe more purposeful in our approach, whatever that means to everybody here. Help us to be more prayerful, more conscious of ourselves and how we look to the world, what we say, what we do, how we act. All of it matters. So I pray, God, as we leave today, that we'll be charged with these words, only a few find it. Only a few find it. And I've got a little personal mission that I need to go on. It can be silent. It can be boisterous. But I need to do it. Now go with us today and bless us in a rich way. We thank you for this pretty day that you've given us to celebrate Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.